It's obviously a historic moment here for the NFL and for professional sports in general to have a game such as this one taking place here in Las Vegas. So it is really, really exciting. And it's not my opinion, actually, Bill. We've taken the time to look at the numbers. We issue a survey annually ahead of the Super Bowl to determine how Americans are engaging with this form of mainstream adult entertainment, now legal in this country. But right now we are seeing, our survey showed that 68 million American adults will make a wager of some kind to the tune of $23 billion, which is a pretty significant increase from $16 billion last year alone. When it comes down to your question, though, I want to make sure we're being really clear here. 42 million Americans will bet online, retail, sportsbook, bookie. That's legal and illegal. And then 36 million Americans will sort of casually bet with friends, squares, etc. So our survey research encompasses all forms of Super Bowl betting, if you will, those things that happen legally on such a sportsbook operator in person at a casino, or perhaps with a bookie, or at a family and friends gathering betting on squares.
So I grew up in a world where the thought of having a game like this here was laughable, okay, most of my life. And what changed? Why here, and why is it a good idea to be here now?
Sure. So for so long in this country, this was the only place to participate in this form of adult entertainment, right? Las Vegas is the epicenter of gaming. Gaming was legalized here in the 1930s. Unfortunately, we had a policy system in place that allowed an illegal market to flourish and prevented 49 other jurisdictions from participating in sports betting legally. That changed over time. You saw other states regulating certain forms of casino gaming. And then obviously, though, with sports betting, Bill, it took the Supreme Court to undo a law that effectively banned it in places other than Nevada. That took place in 2018. And so what you saw immediately after that Supreme Court decision, states were beginning a process to have a conversation with policymakers, regulators, and communities. Hey, how can we do this right in our state? And right now, sports betting is legal in 38 states, plus the District of Columbia. That has a big intersection with the leagues and teams themselves. And so since that moment of legalization, you've begun to see professional sports organizations determine a way to embrace sports betting, coexist alongside it. And clearly now the normalization of sports betting in this country, brought forth by legalization and the Supreme Court's decision in 2018, has really put Las Vegas at the center of the sports universe. You had F1 here recently. You clearly have the Raiders here now. You have a WNBA franchise here, defending champion franchise in the Aces. And then clearly the first professional sports organization to come here was the Golden Knights, which really the success of that franchise and how fans have embraced it here as a big marker of success. So now you're seeing interest with, of course, the Oakland A's is part of the conversation now.
Joe Maloney, Senior Vice President, Strategic Communications, talking gambling and gaming here on Radio Row at Super Bowl 58. So I guess always the taboo was that they were terrified that gambling might filter into the players, that there might be a 1919 Black Sox scandal and a fixed World Series. I mean, why is that not still an issue?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the integrity of the game itself, and that is absolutely the most important part of the discussion as leagues have begun a process of determining what level of embrace is appropriate. You know, Bill, unfortunately, as we saw in the examples you cited, people have been betting on sports as long as there have been sports. And some of the unfortunate things that have happened that have questioned whether or not a legal framework can coexist alongside competitive contests are not taking into account the fact that betting has always taken place in this country. What policymakers have done appropriately, and even working with the leagues, I would also add, is created a framework where the preservation of the integrity of this game is the most important thing. And what does that mean? There are integrity tools in place where betting's monitored. There are rules and protocols for players, for business partners of leagues, to prevent notionally and directly any idea that the integrity of the game is violated. And what we have seen with our research is, at the advent of legalization, You've seen survey results showing people were concerned about the integrity of the game. As this has become normalized, that percentage of Americans that are concerned about that has gone down significantly. And that's because there's a regulated framework in place. There are 5,000 regulators in this country every day that are working with legal operators, working with leagues and teams to ensure that everything that's taking place is absolutely legal. And you've seen examples where this has worked. It's unfortunate to see suspensions of players. There's been examples of coaches unfortunately being suspended, some being, you know, fired as a result of towing that line too much. And we've got tools in place now to sort of catch those things as they happen.
All right. As I understand it, help me out. Of course, Texas is not legal yet here. It gets debated every year, every 2 years when the legislature meets. Louisiana has it. I've been to Hot Springs, Arkansas recently. They have a horse track there and have for years. There's a casino in Hot Springs. Oklahoma has it. Basically, Texas is surrounded by it. So what would it look like? I know you're not going to go into too much detail on Texas, but what would it look like if it were illegal in Texas?
Yeah, and it's a good question. And look, the framework that is persisting right now through legalization is that states will decide to do it when it's the right time for states to do it. I am a resident of Maryland, as a good example. We were a little late to the game. The District of Columbia was out first. Delaware, just up the road, was immediately after 2018. West Virginia was hot out the gate in 2018. And then Maryland realized that there were a lot of folks leaving Maryland to bet in the legal marketplace on other sides of the borders in those states. And Maryland was losing that revenue opportunity. These are revenues that are taxed. These taxes go and fund important services, maybe education, whatever states decide, Bill. And I think that's the conversation that Texas lawmakers, policymakers, and the legal community are going to figure out here over time. But it will continue to take time. And in the meantime, those in Texas that want to bet in the legal marketplace are determining the ways in which they can do that. And, you know, we're here to describe and to expound how legal regulated gaming can support communities, can support bettors, particularly those that need reminders about responsibility and how to employ in responsible play as well. We're agnostic on when it happens in Texas, but we know it's a conversation taking place. I know your nearest neighbor to the east, it is legal.
Absolutely, it's legal. So, kind of to wrap things up with Joe Maloney from StrategicCommunications.com talking about gaming here at Super Bowl 58. You know, we've already seen it this week. We're here. Game's going to be played. So, I mean, there are thousands of ways people can bet these games. There are prop bets. You can bet straight up on the game. It's pretty crazy, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. And we encourage all those to, you know, first of all, bet legally in the legal marketplace where they can, obviously, to know the odds, know what you're betting on, understand that this is fun, so keep it social, number three. And then finally, stick to a budget. Make sure this stays a fun activity for you and your friends as you engage in the game.
What are the dangers? What should people be aware of? What should people beware of? How about that? Put it that way.
You know, again, the benefit of the legal marketplace, Bill, is that we're talking about a system that's governed by 5,000 regulators throughout the country. So, one, operating in a legal with a legal sports book. That's first and foremost. Inside of the legal sports book, that's where you're going to have consumer protections. That's where you know you're going to reliably get paid when you want to get paid. That's where there's full disclosure of odds and fully understanding the bets. There's a lot of attention paid to prop bets, particularly around a famous music star that may or may not attend the game. I can tell you right now, Bill, by and large across the U.S. in legal regulated markets, you're not going to find prop bets about music stars and how many times she's on television. The further you get away from the field with prop bets, those aren't things you're going to find in the U.S. Some sports books will allow color of Gatorade and length of national anthem, but generally speaking, prop bets, we encourage folks to, you know, look at prop bets that have to do with play on the field, and that's what our legal partners, the legal markets, are going to be providing. So those are the things to be aware of. If you're getting too far off the field, it's probably not happening in a legal sports book, and that's where our concern is.